Good morning to everyone. If you've got your Bible, open it to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is our text this morning. Dealt with that last week, some. We'll jump into that a little bit this morning. Thanks a lot for being here today. I know we are living in a society where it seems like the stress and anxiety is ratcheting up quite a bit more all the time. But thank you for taking time out of your schedule, whether you're here. And thank you for those who felt comfortable enough in coming. If you did not, because of your age or pre-existing conditions, we are thankful you're joining us to the live stream. But thanks for being here today. Any preacher will tell you that there are some subjects that are more necessary, that they recognize need to be addressed more and more. And the subject that we've been dealing with the last several weeks, for me, is being impressed as I study more how important it is for us, and maybe how often we have not delved deeply enough into that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, said that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and foremost commandment. That's the center of everything. I would submit to you that we fail in our life when we don't put God first and love Him more than anything else. I fail in my daily walk. I fail in my prayer life, my spiritual life. I am overcome by sin, all because I don't love God more than anything else. And if we can grow to the point where we love God more, so many of the issues that we struggle with will fall into place. So in the first lesson, we talked about the idea of developing a love for God. If you don't love Him, how do you develop a love for Him? And we talked about that in Genesis chapter 2, where God put man and woman together with one another, and how that first marriage was a marriage of choice and love, and Adam had to learn that he was all alone, but there was someone like him, and he had to find her beautiful, and that's how that love started. And for us today, we have to recognize that we need something. And we're made in the image of God. Only God satisfies that, and we've got to find Him beautiful. And when we start doing that, we come to the point where we start loving Him. And as we talked about last week at the 9 o'clock session, and I hope you watch that, once we come to love God, that's not a static thing. For most of us, we know it goes up and down. And hopefully, the more we love Him, the more we start thinking, well, how do I love God more? How do I maintain that love within my life so that I love Him on a regular basis? And there are several disciplines that we're going to talk about, and we're going to continue this morning for the next several weeks. The first discipline is discipline. We have to understand where we need to be, acknowledge that, and honestly look at where we are. Am I loving God the way that I should? And if I'm not, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to discipline my life so that I can love Him more? That's the starting place. The first discipline is discipline. The second discipline we talked about last week is we've got to study God. And that's where Psalm 103 comes in. In Psalm 103, verses 3 through verse 14, the psalmist there talks about all these different things that God has done, all the benefits that God has given us. If I'm to love God, I need to start reflecting more and more upon who He is, what He's done for me, the character of God. And then we looked at Psalm 19, where the psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And we just talked about a couple of things we know about nature that just takes this idea of God and expounds upon Him and expands that idea of God so that we are amazed by God. So we need to spend time studying God. Well, where do we look to? We closed last week by looking at a number of different books we can look at. One in particular, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, which I think is an outstanding book. And I mentioned that last week, and I know several of you contacted me saying that you'd ordered it and you were going to read it, and I hope it's helpful to you. There are a lot of books people have written about God that are very helpful books. But at the end of the day, there is one book that we look to more than any other book that tells us about God, and that is the Bible. In fact, all these other books are only valuable in that they point us to the book that tells us about God. This is the book that we reflect upon. So here is the third discipline this morning. We must study God's Word. We have to discipline ourselves. We need to study God, but we need to study God's Word. It's amazing to me how often people don't turn to God's Word. They turn to other books. when they want to learn more about God. Verse 7 tells us in Psalm 103, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. Moses wrote these down. We call that the Pentateuch. And the Jews for years took what was written and they studied that to learn about God. And we expand upon that idea and we find later, apart from Moses, other inspired writers. They begin to write and they begin to tell inspired stories and we move into the New Testament. And the point is this, that God gave us something that we could read and study to learn more about Him. And the more we want to learn about God, the more we're going to go to His Word. And the more we go to His Word, the more we're going to love God. So open your Bibles back now to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. It is interesting that the psalmist in this text begins by talking about how incredible God is. The heavens declare the glory of God. And immediately in verse 7, after talking about how wonderful God is, he begins to talk about God's law. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Isn't that interesting? And right after the psalmist talked about how wonderful God is, he just started talking about the law of God and how wonderful God's word is. And that's because the word of God is a reflection of God. The word of God is perfect because God's perfect. The word of God is sure because God's sure. The word of God is right and righteous because God's righteous. It is a reflection of His character. So the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verses 47 through 48, I find delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward the commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Verse 159, consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. And verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. You see that? Do you see how the psalmist here found delight not just in God, but he found delight in God's word. And because he found delight in God's word, he found delight in God. To be in awe of God, we have to be in awe of His word. But we struggle with that. And sometimes we say, I just don't get anything out of Bible study. Or, I think Bible study is sort of boring sometimes. And it's hard for me to study. I think one of the reasons that's true, and it is true for all of us at different points, is because we're studying for the wrong reason. Our reasons. Sometimes we open the Bible, I'm going to study the Bible because we feel like we have to. When I was growing up, I hated to eat corn. My mom made me eat corn, and once I moved out, I wasn't eating any more corn. No more corn for me. But one day, I was probably 23 years old, Teresa had gone out of town, so I went to Mom and Dad's house to eat supper. And Mom had some cream corn on the table. And for some reason, it finally looked appealing. And so I ate some cream corn and I realized, this is good. I think sometimes we approach the Word of God like that. It's like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this if I'm a good Christian. And we're never going to do it as long as we look at it as something that we have to do. Sometimes people study the Word of God so that they can just be smarter. They've got this intellectual motivation. They want to learn stuff. They want to learn the order of the kings, our timelines. And sometimes we study it so that we can learn more than other people. And we can throw that knowledge out from time to time. And maybe sometimes we do it so we can be a little self-righteous. Just talk about how good we are and how bad other people are. And I think there's another reason why we sometimes study, and it's the wrong reason, and that is we just got a goal to study. Now, I said earlier these are disciplines. And disciplining ourselves is that idea again that I'm not where I need to be. I know where I need to be. How do I get there? So I'm not saying it's wrong to study because you set a goal. So maybe you set a goal to read a chapter a day or 3 chapters a day or 10 chapters a day. But here's the problem when we're just doing it as a goal. I read my chapter. I can't tell you what the chapter said. But I read it. Okay, I met my goal. And that's the wrong way to approach this. Rather, the right way to study the Word of God is to study the Word of God to learn more about God. Because this whole book, guys, is about God from start to finish. When I teach classes, a textual study, if you've been in that class, at some point, the question will be asked, what do you learn about God in this text? I know a lot of people don't like that question. A lot of people would rather have question number 4, who's the third person mentioned in verse 5? Zacchaeus, you know, I've done it, met the goal, and move on. I'm not interested in that, guys. What I want to do, and what I want to encourage you to do, is think more deeply about the text. And every chapter of the Bible, every chapter of the Bible, somehow always goes back to God. I need to think about that. And the more I think about that, the more in love I will be with God. And the more in love you will be with God. To slow down and ask yourself, what am I getting here? Is this about Paul and his journeys and he went to Troas and Ephesus and ... Or is this about God? Is this about King Saul or King David? Or is this about God? And the more I see that, the more in love I grow with God. So let me close with this exhortation to you. Discipline yourself to study, to love God more. And that's going to be found in your personal study. A lot of preachers have reading plans. Here's the reading plan I'm putting before you. It's called the What Does This Text Say About God reading plan. Okay. I'm trying to work on a more concise way to say it, but that's where we're at right now. That's what I've started doing. I've started just writing down. It may be one thing, two things. It's not onerous, but what does this tell me about God? God's merciful. God expects to be obeyed. We're getting from the life of Saul. What does it tell you about God? I hope you're engaged in some kind of personal study. Here's the second thing. Participate in the classes right now. Parents, make sure your children are participating in classes. I know a lot of you are, but some aren't. And you're never going to love God until you start getting to His Word in one of those ways that we have available before us right now, our Bible classes. And adults, take part in those classes. It's not just for kids. 2 o'clock this afternoon, Matt Henneke is teaching a class in 2 Corinthians. It's been a wonderful class. If you've not joined us, join it. I know you've got a lot of things going on. We all do. But this is a time to learn about God. And continue to attend our in-building services, or if you are older, you have pre-existing conditions, all those things, continue to live stream. And if you come to the 11 o'clock, make sure you live stream the 9 o'clock. And if you come to the 9 o'clock, make sure you live stream the 11 o'clock. 2 different times where the Word of God is taught. How a lot of things going on that you and I can engage in right now so that we can grow in our love for the Lord. And guys, you can't take the Bible out of that. Other things may help. We've got to go to the Word of God. So, do you want to love God more? Study His Word. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, You have given us a wonderful book. You have given us a book that has transcended time, cultures, languages. This is a book of Your wisdom. And it is wonderful and life-changing. Because You are wonderful and life-changing. Help us to turn to this book because we love You.
Help us to stay in this book because we love you. You're a wonderful God. We are so thankful for everything that you do for us. Help us to grow. Help us to be more like you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In your Son's name, amen. If you're not a Christian, we always take this moment to ask you to think about where you're at before the Lord. And if you need to become His child, we always tell you the water's ready, and it's ready right now. If you are curious but you're not ready, we would love to study with you. Ask me, ask one of the elders, ask Brother Paul, ask David Norfleet. We'd love to do anything we can to help you. If you're a child of God, you need prayers right now. If you're struggling in some way, maybe you've got sin in your life, and that's keeping you away from really genuinely loving God, and you need to deal with that this morning, then we stand ready to pray with you. If you're His child and maybe something else is going on, you're just not where you need to be. If you just need help, we're here for you as a family. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, this is our time to come together as we stand and sing.